We're going to ask one of you to read for us Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 to verse 9. Isaiah 55, verse 7 through 9. Let us have it.
Let the wicked forsake his way.
Let the wicked forsake his ways.
And the unrighteous man his thoughts.
And let the unrighteous man forsake his unrighteous thought.
And let him return unto the Lord.
And let him come back to God.
And he will have mercy upon him.
God will have mercy upon that person.
And to our God.
To our God.
For he will abundantly pardon.
Because he's not going to pardon, he's going to do it abundantly.
Amen.
Read on.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways. Your ways. Saith the Lord.
The whole lesson today surrounds that verse, I think it's verse 8 or 9. Let us hear it again.
My thoughts are not your thoughts.
Are not your thoughts.
Neither are your ways. My ways. Saith the Lord.
There is a vast difference between us and God. And one of humanity's problems is we a lot of time we try to bring God down to our level. It doesn't work. Christianity is not about bringing God down to our level. It is about us, by being obedient to his word, going up, reaching up to God's level. Today's lesson, title, If It Were Left Up to Me. If it were left up to me. And one of the main purposes of this lesson is to understand what has just been expressed there in verse 9, just read, to understand that fact, and for us to day by day conform our lives more to God's will, so that we will learn to see things God's way and be the type of people God wants us to be. There is no doubt that had some of God's prerogative been left up to me, I would definitely do things differently. I have no doubt about that. That some of the things that God has done in the Bible, had it been left up to Carl Mitchell, I would have done them differently. So much so that there are many human beings who think God left up to them so many things, but they are not left up to us. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 16, let us hear it. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 16, let us hear it.
And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. May thee an ark of gopher wood.
Make you, we could almost say, a boat, because that's what it was, a big boat. Read that again.
Make thee an ark.
Make thee an ark. You make an ark. Mm-hmm.
Of gopher wood.
Of gopher wood.
Rooms shalt thou make in the ark.
Uh-huh.
And shalt pitch it
within and without with pitch.
And this is the fashion.
This is how you should make it. This is the measurement. Now, what we're about to see is that God is about to give Noah the detail, and really detail. Now, had that been left up to me, I would have left simple things like the timber. That is the type of wood. Up to Noah. Remember, at this time, Noah was no little boy. So things like the timber, I would have left it up to Noah. The door size. The size of the door. Noah knew that it's some human being and some big animal. So I would have left that up to Noah. Huh? A window size to make adjustment for air to come in. I would have left that up to Noah, to the man's judgment. But I said if it were left up to me. But you see, it was not left up to me. The Almighty God had good reason for giving all the detail to Noah. But you know what, brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen? Not only should we accept that God gave Noah all the detail, we should respect God's reason for doing that. Are we all there? And this is where Isaiah come in. Why should we respect that? Because the Almighty God has view, understanding, perception of things that you and I will never have as long as we live. There are some things, unless our eyes, our intellect is opened by God, or unless we are enlightened by His word, there are some things we will never see, even if we live to see a million years. There are some things we need God's intervention for us to understand and to see. And this is why it's good that the building of the ark was not left up to me, or to you for that reason. You know why? Probably had it been left up to Noah's judgment, it would have sunk. When that rain, you know why? Noah had never seen the type of rain that fell during the time that the flood came. The Bible indicates that there had never been water or rainfall like that. So you see, Noah had nothing to prepare him, no experience to prepare him with the understanding and the knowledge to build that ark. But the Almighty God had that knowledge because He's God. And because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. May I? In dealing with man's salvation, be it man's physical salvation, what do you mean, Brother Mitchell, by man's physical salvation? That when, be it a disease or a virus become rampant, be it famine, be it flood, whatever the physical situation that God had to intervene, that's what I mean, man, physical salvation. In dealing with man's salvation, physical salvation, temporary salvation, or man's eternal salvation, God never leave any of it up to man. Note what I have just said. It's not just man's eternal salvation. You and I, those of us who are Christian, we become Christian because we want at the end of this journey, at the end of our lives here on earth, we would like to have a peaceful, blissful, happy eternity. Did I say eternity? Yes. Where you will live not just for the 50 years or the 60 years or the 80 years or the 90 or the 100 years. You will live forever. That's what eternity is about. And in that, we have one of two choices. Either we spend eternity in the eternal hell, in misery, because we have responded to God's grace with ungratefulness, or we spend eternity in peace and happiness and bliss. Now, in man's physical, temporary, or eternal salvation, as I've just said, the Almighty God has never left any of the working out of that to us. Never. The Almighty God only left with us the compliance or the obedient part. Never the how of it. Only that we obey what he says. The Almighty God never left up to man. Look here, humanity, you are to serve me. Just go out and let me know how you are going to do it. Or, humanity, I am your creator. And you have some obligation to me, the God of heaven and earth. Let me know how you would like to serve me. No, sir. God. And you see, this is the problem in the religious world now. That men and women think they can get hooked on a path, a religious path that they like, that appeal to them, and they can follow that path and everything will be okay. No, it was never left up to us. Never. Had it been left up to me, I would never have driven. Are we all there? I would never have driven out Agar and her son Ishmael. That little boy was just about 14 years old. How did this child come about? Because Sarah and Abraham took God's business up in their own hands and decided how they are going to work it out. Religious people are doing the same today. When God laid it down in the gospel, all about how the church should run, organize what the church should teach and preach, what the practice in the church should be, Men and women believe that they have outstripped God in knowledge and experience, and you know what? In civilization, they are more civilized than God. The Almighty God says that I do not permit a woman to teach or to preach or usurp authority over the man. Huh? But you see, for the denominational religious world out there, well, the Bible was written some 2,000 years ago. That is how backward God is. So, you know, we certainly can't abide by that. Sometime on a Sunday morning, having a little breakfast before I come and the radio is on, and many times Sister Mitchell will come in the dining area and ask, Carl, you are the one who turned on the radio, and I'll say yes. Because, you know, sometimes you hear some women there firing away. And I find it, because the Bible is very plain, not just in one passage in the New Testament. The Bible is very plain on that. God gives women their part in the church, and they have a part in the church where they are to be quite active, but not to usurp authority over the men. That is not vague. So when I sit there sometime and listen, it irritates me. So I have to turn down the radio. Truly. The Almighty, as I've said, Hagar and Ishmael, how did that child come about? Genesis 21. Quick. 9 through 13. Let us hear it.
And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which he had borne unto Abraham, mocking.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, she said unto Abraham,
mm-hmm.
cast out the bondwoman
mm-hmm.
and her son,
mm-hmm.
for the son of the bondwoman shall not be here with
the
my son.
The bondwoman there means slave. That's right. That's what Hagar was. They were just like when our forefathers were in slavery in this country and other places. They were possession of the slave master. They were like a commodity, a thing that the slave master could use any way he wants. Hagar was a slave.
Amen.
Read.
For the son of this bondwoman shall not be here with my son, even with Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight.
Remember, Abraham's wife Sarah told him, cast them out, run them away, both the mother and the son. I don't know why Abraham didn't remind Sarah that my mother used to use the word inveigle. I don't know if many of you town people, yes, know that word. My mother used the word inveigle. Well, Sarah was the one who inveigled Abraham. Now, the Almighty God had already given me instruction that was plain. My point is, when she came and told him to drive them out, the mother and the young 14-year-old boy. Run them away. And it's like to add insult to injury. The Almighty God came after word and second it. The Almighty God came and said to Abraham, do what your wife say. That's right. No, had that been left up to me? Since it was the hasty, impatient, faithless doing of Sarah and Abraham, there would be in me the pitiful concern for Hagar and Ishmael. And I would be concerned about Sarah's unreasonableness. That would probably irritate me. You were the one who caused all of this. And you know, as human beings, we like to point the blame to somebody else. I would remind Sarah. So I would not have taken this step had it been left up to me. In fact, left up to me, I would advise the Almighty God to stay out of this mess. That's right, because it was a mess. It was a moral mess, a spiritual mess. I would have advised the Almighty God to stay away from it, not to get involved. Considering God's purity, God's holiness, God's righteousness, I would remind God that, God, if you get involved in this, you probably will send the wrong message to humanity. God was not concerned about sending any wrong message. That's right. In fact, that has never been God's concern. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because the holiness of God makes it that God cannot act outside of his own holiness. Brother Mitchell, cut that down for me. It means that whatever God does, it is right because it is in keeping with his rightness, his holiness, his purity, his sinlessness. So he was not concerned about that. Not only that, as I've said, I would be concerned about Hagar and Sarah's safety. Huh? Need and all of that. God had no concern there. Why, Brother Mitchell? Don't God concern if people get hungry and thirsty and nothing to eat? Yes, God has concern about that. But he had no concern about that in respect to Ishmael and her mother. Hagar, what do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God did not have concern because God knew that, watch here, their safety, their survival was not dependent on themselves or on Abraham. God knew that. So God was not there. Let me see if I agree with Abraham for them to be driven out. How are they going to eat? And what about the wild animal and the fugitive in the wilderness? No, the Almighty God knew that that was not dependent on the two people, the mother and son. Neither was it dependent on Abraham. It was dependent on God. And God would see to their safety and their protection and whatever else. And this is why, in fact, David in Psalms 139 gives us a little hint of the extent of God's protection and care. Chapter of the book of Genesis 139, verse 7 through verse 10. Let us hear it, brother.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Or whither shall I flee from mm-hmm. thy presence?
Mm-hmm.
If I ascend up into heaven,
mm-hmm.
thou art there.
Wherever they're going to find themselves, God is still there.
If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there.
You always thought that God is afraid that he may get burned in hell? No. The heat that might exist in hell is controlled by God. So, and isn't it wonderful that way back then, David understood this? Even though for them, in the world then, the grave sometimes was their hell, was what in their view was hell. But what he's saying, wherever we go, God, read a little further, brother.
If I take the wings of the morning
mm-hmm.
and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea,
mm-hmm.
even there shall thy hand lead me.
Wherever man goes, he's not out of God's sight, God's protection, and God's care.
Amen.
So this is why God had no concern about Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael's safety, because it was in God's hands. It was not left up to me. Let us remember also this business about the Almighty God sending the wrong message to man by getting involved in the mess that Sarah and Abraham create. We are afraid of people getting the wrong message, and we are afraid of the negative things that people will think. God is not, never, truly. God's wisdom, mercifulness, and graciousness is that which guides the Almighty God. And it is this that was involved in the guidance of Ishmael and his mother Hagar. Look at Genesis. I think it is chapter 16, verse 14, I think, through 19.
Wherefore, the well was called Beer-la Heroel.
Okay, you can straighten your... Some of those words knock everything out of place. Read on, brother.
Behold,
mm-hmm.
it was between Kadesh and Bered, and Hagar bare Abraham a son. And Abram called his son name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael.
Let's turn to 21, verse 14 to 19. Same Genesis.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and mm-hmm. took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away.
Mm-hmm.
And she departed and wandered in the wilderness
uh-huh.
of Beersheba.
Read.
And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs.
The water was what?
Spent.
Spent, meaning the water finished. the water. Abraham was concerned about their welfare and was helping to make provision, not realizing that their safety and provision for their survival was not dependent on him, but on God. Read.
And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child.
You get the point here? You get the drift? Let me not see that the water finish. Wait. The provision that man made, the provision that Abraham made, got exhausted. And she put the young boy a distance from her. And she just expressed why. She said, I don't want to see his death. Let me stay far from him. Read, brother.
And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept.
She cried.
And God heard.
Because she knew he's going to die. Their physical sustenance finished. Water in those situations is probably the most precious thing. Because in a desert, you need water more than you need food. And she wept. Don't forget the point. Had it been left up to me, what I would and wouldn't do. Don't forget the point. Why God did not have any concern, because God knew that their sustenance, their safety, and all of that was not dependent on Agar. It was not dependent on Ishmael. It was not dependent on Abraham. It was dependent on God. And God had already made provision for them that they didn't know of. So when the mother was crying that her son is at the last point, he's going to die because their foodstuff and water finish. Read.
And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee?
Why? God always hear the cry of his people. I mean today, God, when you have things that give you legitimate concern, and especially things that you didn't bring on yourself or you didn't have control over, God hear your cry, and he's doing what is in his power to do to help you, even though he may not divulge to you what he's doing. Read on, brother.
Fear not.
Fear not.
For God hath.
You know, remember, I have a series of lessons on this some time ago. It's one of the most often repeated assurances in the entire Bible. The Almighty God is still saying to his people, whatever faces you, when you are a child of God, fear not. God is still saying that. Fear not, because God is able. Read on.
For God had heard the voice of the lad.
God heard the voice of the lad.
Where is he?
Where is he?
Arise.
Get up.
Lift up the lad.
Lift up the lad. Wait. Agar placed her where she did. You know, because it's okay. We are now preparing for your funeral. I'm preparing my mind. That's why I can't stay too close to you. Because things to drink, to eat, finish. So let me put you over there, so I don't want to be too close when you die. Read. What verse is that?
18.
Read, brother.
And hold him in thine hand.
Hold him in your hand.
For I will make him a great nation.
Not only am I going to see to his and your survival, I'm going to make out of this little boy that you thought have only probably a few hours to live, I'm going to make him a great nation. Let us hear verse 19.
And God opened their eyes.
And God opened their eyes.
And she saw a well of water.
Can you believe it? I make a reference, I think it was last week or the week before, it might have been in a Sunday night lesson, that our memory plays a moral part in us serving God. When we forget all the things God did for us yesterday and the day before, it weakens our faith. Our good memory, or in fact, you don't even have to have any good memory. Just don't forget the things out of which the Almighty God pull you. Don't. That plays an important part in our faith growing. When the Almighty God did something for you a year ago, 2 years ago, and it went from your mind, you don't remember it, you are faced with some problem now. If you only could remember that you had faced a similar problem a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and God pulled you through, that gives you confidence to face this present one. Our problem is we often forget. That's our problem. What verse 19 say?
And God opened her eyes.
We need eyes open. Sometimes it takes the memory to remember things that God has done for us so that we can find strength to deal with the present challenge that we face. Brothers, may I man's disobedience and man's faithlessness have never been the proper avenue to understand the faithfulness of God. Because of our sinfulness, our disobedience, we feel threatened by every danger that we face. If we allow the Almighty God to open our eyes, you notice the passage in verse 19 of Genesis 21, where it took God to open Agar's eye to see that there is a well of water out there. More water than you will ever need for you and your son. In many cases, we need our eyes to be opened by God. If it had been left up to me, I'm wrapping up not because the lesson is finished, but because what is left, I don't want to rush through it. There is another messy situation that, in fact, it is this one I would advise the Almighty God not to get mixed up in. But we are leaving that for next week. And in this, we will be pointing out again that God does not need protection from giving the wrong message to onlookers. We ought to be concerned, but not God. Because forever and ever, the Almighty God must act within His holy nature. When the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil, mean the Almighty God cannot use sinful thing to test our faith. God uses a lot of things to test our faith, but not things that are sinful. Because God cannot act outside of His holy nature. He's a righteous God. He's a pure God. He's a holy God. He's not a deceptive God. God no work brain per man. God comes straight. But we will look, and yet another messy, quite messy situation. In fact, some of the things, some of the steps that God took with this one, really, truly, I would be like Moses reminding God. On one occasion, Moses had to remind God, if you kill off the Israelite, what the Gentile nation around by whom we are surrounded going to see? Poor Moses didn't know that the Almighty. It's good that Moses was thinking like that. It's good that Moses was so converted to whatever God wants, that he wants to protect God's reputation. It's good. But you know what? It's bad in the sense that it represents ignorance. Truly. It represents ignorance. We cannot protect God's reputation. Because God has no bad reputation to protect. The agnostic, the atheist, the critic says, Brother Mitchell, Mr. Mitchell, you're a preacher. If God is as good as you say and as loving, why God permit millions of people to die each year in place like Africa, died of famine? Why the Almighty God permit the wicked man to go through and for many years do so much wickedness? Why God do that? And you know what? A lot of times we as Christians believe we have to find ways to protect God's reputation. You know what? A lot of brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times that we try to blame God for, it's man's evil. It's evil that man does. God makes man a morally responsible being. That means the Almighty God make us that we have it within our power to make decision to do what is wrong or what is right. Well, Brother Mitchell, why God didn't make us the other way? Then that would make us a robot. We would be a robot. The robot, you press this and it does what you want it to do. And you press this and it does what you want it to do. It cannot do otherwise. But we are not like that. We are morally responsible. We are responsible for our right, our wrong action. Because it is contrary to the righteous nature of God to have made us robots. Like when God asks man to love him, God wants that to be a willing love. He wants that to be something that comes out of our conscience, our reasonableness, our gratitude, our feeling of obligation to him. That's why we were not made robots. God does not need protection. So when we come next week, we pick up, and if it had been left up to me, but you know what? Thank God it was not left up to me, or to you, or to any man. God's plan of salvation, how the church should run, was never left up to man. How we are to worship God was never left up to our likes or dislikes. But next week we go a little further. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you know, the Almighty God never leave it up to man to decide. You become a Christian the way you want in your church, and I become a Christian the way I want in my church. The Almighty God doesn't have that type of arrangement. The way the Almighty God has it, every man, every woman must become Christian the very same way. And may I? If you find out that the way you became Christian is different from the way I did, both of us need to sit down with the Bible and see first if we became Christian the way men and women became Christian in the book of Acts, and which of us is out. And if both of us is out, it means simply that we are not Christian. And we need to conform to this. The Almighty God doesn't have a plan where you do your thing, you become a Christian your way, and I become a Christian my way. The Bible says that we should walk by the same rule. So if you're here today, you need to hear that Jesus Christ died for your sin. You believe that? Make the other step. You need to repent. If you believe that Christ is the Son of God who died for your sin, you need to repent of your sin, meaning turn from ungodliness, sinful worldly things, and turn to Christ's word. And after you repent, what else? You must confess faith in Christ. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? Mean you must not be ashamed of Christ. Are you a Christian? Then no, you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. The Almighty God planned it that your sin will be dealt with in baptism. Nowhere else. When you believe, your sin has not been dealt with yet. When you repent, your sin has not been dealt with yet. When you confess faith in Christ, your sin has not yet been dealt with. But when you are buried in that watery grave of baptism, it is then that you come under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin. God did not leave that up to man. That is in the gospel. Come now, as we stand and sing. And if you're here, and if you're a child of God who has strayed, grown unfaithful, backsliding, come now and recommit your life to Christ as we sing.
Song number 22.